Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God.
Hi, everyone. Well, I trust our series on Bible Answers for Hot Button Questions has been as much a blessing for you to hear as it was for me to teach it. I taught this series because we live in an hour of increasing skepticism and even hostility towards the Christian faith. People are demanding answers to hot button issues like gender confusion, the exclusive claims of the Christian faith, such as Jesus being the only way to heaven, how we know the Bible is the Word of God, homosexuality, and other topics that are truly front burner, hot button topics in today's culture. It's my prayer that the answers we present straight from the Bible are going to arm Christians with truth to present in their witnessing for Christ and will clear out some of the cobwebs of confusion and misinformation in the minds of those considering the Christian faith. So let's jump right in as I share part 5 in the series, Bible Answers for Hot Button Questions. Now, here's the first question. I heard you say on the radio that the Great Tribulation is the wrath of God poured out on the world. I don't believe that the Great Tribulation is the wrath of God. It is the wrath of the prince of this world as he knows his time is short. Now she's talking about the devil. All right, now then she quotes Revelations 12:12-14. I want to read it to you so you'll know what she's referring to. And I think it's a she. I don't know if it's a she. So anyway, let's read the verses they mention. For this reason, John writes, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time. Now she took that verse, or they took that verse and said, that shows me that the wrath that takes place in the tribulation period is not the wrath of God, but it's the wrath of the devil based on this verse. It's the wrath of the prince of this world because he's come down having great wrath. All right, now here's the answer. In order to better understand this passage, we need to drop back a couple of verses and read verse 9. Where we read about the devil being cast out. Look what it says. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of how much of the world? The whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, the context, remember what I told you about context? Context is prince. In Bible interpretation, context is key. All right? The context is this is the Great Tribulation period going down. So we have the dragon, the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the world, thrown to the earth and his angels thrown down with him during the tribulation. Now hold that thought. We know from Scripture that Satan was first cast out of heaven sometime in eternity past before the creation of the world, right? How do we know that? Because when God created Adam and Eve, the devil shows up already fallen, already serpentine, already judged, already wicked and evil, and already trying to attack God's creation, okay? So the devil had to originally be cast out sometime before God created the world. Are you with me? Isaiah 14:12 tells us, how you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. Now there you've got the devil falling from heaven. And Ezekiel gives a much greater description, but I just didn't want to take the time to read it. We have much to cover tonight, but after this first casting out, somewhere before the dawn of time, we know that the devil had access to the throne room of God. At least God allowed him to show up. He didn't force his way in, but God allowed him to show up. How do we know this? The book of Job. Remember the angels of God, the sons of God, gathered together before the throne of God, and it says Satan came in among them and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" So there's the devil, fallen, judge, serpentine. He's the devil's split hoof, the evil one, all right? And there he is going before the throne of God. Now this matters, so track with me. And Jesus also revealed that the devil did this with Simon Peter. Remember, he said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has requested to sift you like wheat." Well, who did Satan request it of? God. And Jesus said, "But I prayed for you that your faith would not fail, and when you return, you'll strengthen your brethren," and so on and so forth. So twice we're shown in the Bible that after the first casting out of Satan, after his initial judgment, and he became the devil and no longer Lucifer, the morning star, that he had access to the throne room of God. And God would allow him to come and basically attack or slander his servants or seek access to them like he did with Peter. Now, our verse in Revelations 12:12-14 shows that Satan will be cast out again during the tribulation period. Well, what's the difference? Here is where he loses all access to heaven. He is cast out again and loses all access to heaven. And the Bible says this infuriates him. And he comes down to the earth in great wrath. Why great wrath? Because he knows his time is short. He knows it's about to all go down, and he's about to face the judgment of God and put out of commission for good. So we have two casting outs then of the devil from heaven, essentially. When he fell and became a disembodied spirit, and he became the devil and lost his position as a great archangel. All right? There's only three archangels: Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer. And they were high-level cherubim. The highest level of cherubim, which are the highest order of angels. Of the three archangels, one of them rebelled against God, and he took a third of the angels with him. Now, this I thought about, and I'm just going to toss this out. Why did he take a third? Because isn't it possible, since there were three archangels, that each of the three was given a third of the other angels to oversee? So you had Michael had a third, Gabriel had a third, Lucifer had a third, and when Lucifer rebelled against God, he took his third with him. It's a thought. I'm not saying it's a fact, I'm saying it's a thought, and I think it's plausible. Now, during the tribulation period, he's cast out again. He loses his access to heaven. So back to the question about the wrath experienced during the tribulation being Satan's wrath, the book of Revelation is very clear that the tribulation, which includes 21 judgments, remember, there's the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, and the seven bowl judgments, and they escalate in severity, so that by the time you come to the bowl judgments, it's terrible, 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 all caps, terrible on earth. And those judgments, those 21 judgments, are not the wrath of the devil, it's the wrath of God. It's the wrath of God. So I see where this person kind of arrived at that, and so I just answer, you know, humbly, and I'm not, you know, trying to say somebody was wrong. I understand how you could arrive at that, but the fact is the revelation is the wrath of God. Let me show you. Revelation 15:1, I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues, last because with them, read it with me, God's wrath is completed. There is a day coming when this world will enter the worst period of time it's ever known, and it's called the Great Tribulation. And during that tribulation time, God does pour out 21 successive judgments that grow in severity, so that by the time you reach the end, there's not much left of the planet. There's not much left. And then the Lord Jesus returns in the second coming with his saints and establishes his kingdom. You don't want to be here for the great tribulation time. Amen? You don't want to be here for that. That's why I say I believe that we'll be raptured out, because we have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So, I hope that helps that person. I hope it helps us. Now, here's another question. I believe that we, the church, will be here for the tribulation period. So here we go. What I just said, they don't agree. That's fine. We're both going to heaven still. If I go up in the rapture, they'll go with me too. If the rapture waits till the end of the tribulation period, I'll go up then with them. This is not a deal breaker. But this is another person. I believe we, the church, will be here for the tribulation period. But from studying Scripture, I believe that Jordan, Israel, and the USA will escape the clutches of the Antichrist, the world government, and his control. Therefore, we will not be subject to taking the mark. Now, that's interesting. I've never heard that one. I don't know where Jordan comes from here, but let me just dive in. As for Israel, Jordan and the USA being exempt from Antichrist world government, I got to go to the Word of God. My authority is the Scripture. I'm not up here to give an opinion. I'm up here to the best of my ability to teach the Word of God. Amen? So I got to turn to Scripture. That's my authority. Every truth I accept is biblical as much as lies within me. If somebody tells me something is true, I go straight to the Word and I see if it's true. If I don't find it in the Word, then I say that's not true. Say, well, Jeff, that's very narrow. It's a narrow way that leads to life. It's narrow, but it's not stupid. It's narrow, but it's not unintelligent. As a matter of fact, my decision to let the Word of God be my ultimate and only and primary source of truth is because I've studied it for a long time and seen that it's true every time. And I believe it's the very Word of God. And since God is God and we're not, whatever God says has to be truer than anything any human being could ever come up with. So I believe God's truth with morality. I believe it with ethics. I believe it with eschatology, meaning what's going to happen in the future. I believe that God's word, Jesus said, thy word is truth. So let me answer it based on Scripture. The Bible says, and it was granted to him to make war. John writes, and it was granted to him to make war. This is out of the Revelation. It was granted to him, being Antichrist, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over how many tribes? Every tongue and nation. Every tribe, tongue, and nation will experience for a brief season Antichrist having authority over them, or exercising his authority in where they are, worldwide. Now let's read another one, Revelation 13, 16. He causes how many? Now last time I looked in the Greek, all meant all. That means all, right? He causes all. Then John enumerates, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or forehead. Now, that's not telling us that everybody in every realm, in every ethnicity, every tribe and nation, that every single human being is going to receive the mark. It's saying that in every nation and ethnicity and tribe, there will be multitudes of people receiving the mark. So the words, look at the words, all, every, and all. Make it very clear, nobody is going to escape the short-lived rule of Antichrist. Now you notice it says God gives him, I guess, the authority or permission to make war with the saints and overcome them. Now, church, you need to understand that while us, the church, this church, we, the church, are taken out before the great tribulation period, all kinds of people are going to be born again during the tribulation. We call them tribulation saints. Tribulation saints, that's why sometimes I have cut CDs preaching, and I thought, you know, what if somebody during the tribulation gets a hold of this CD and receives some encouragement? You know, I've thought about that before. But here's the deal. There will be tribulation saints galore because 144,000 Jewish Billy Grahams are going to be preaching the gospel all over the globe, and multitudes are going to come to Christ, but it'll be a totally different world culture because the Antichrist will be a totalitarian dictator and will track every Christian who doesn't receive the mark. What's the mark? It's a number on the back of your hand or on your forehead. And I have blogged and I've done some studying through the months that now there's universities right now where they have put chips under the skin of college students' hands so that when they buy things at the university, they just run it through a scanner and it charges them and they never have to pull out a card or cash or anything. It's a total cashless transaction. And this is spreading now because it used to just be animals. You know, you get that chip and the chip tells you the basic info about your dog or your cat or whatever, and they can call you. But now it's gone to human beings. It's a fact. I've got the articles. It's a fact. They're getting chips, and I've seen the chip. It's a little teeny computer thing, little tiny chip, sort of about the size of a smaller than a kernel of corn. And it goes right under the hand, but it's got all your info in it. And you don't feel it, you don't see it, but it's there, and you run it under a scanner, and you're charged. Now, how in the world could John, sitting in the first century on an island, almost 90, receive information about modern day technology 21 centuries later, beyond him? There's only one way: God, who knows the end from the beginning. God showed him, because now what he said, the whole computer tracking system, John saw it coming. And boy, when I blogged that, you ought to have seen the responses. When I showed that article, well, I'm not getting no mark. I ain't getting that mark. That to kill me before I get that mark. But some people, oh, it's not that big a deal. See? Oh, yes, it is. Listen, nobody's putting something under my skin with my information on it. I'm just letting you know. I don't care if it's easier. I'll take credit card theft before I'll get a chip in my hand or my forehead. Now, but it's happening. It's happening. So every nation, every tongue, ethnicity, everyone will come under this command to take the mark of the beast, 666, which I believe will end up being three sets of six digits like a computer system would do, three sets of six digits each. And that way you can mark the whole world. And that's what will happen. How many of you are glad you're saved? You glad you're saved? Amen. Now here comes a theological bell ringer, and you're going to have to put on your thinking hats with me on this one. What are your thoughts on predestination and why it seems to have become a popular idea throughout the Christian community? I had never heard of Calvinism until the last couple of years. How many of you have heard of Calvinism? How many of you have never heard of Calvinism? How many of you heard of it, but you don't care what it is? All right. All right, that's all right. You know, don't worry, be happy. Ignorance is bliss, right? All right, now, let me just talk about this. And here's why I wanted to answer this one. Because there is a surge of Calvinism happening in the West. I don't know about the Eastern part of the world, but I know in the Western world, particularly in America, there's a surge of Calvinism. You need to understand it because it's doctrine. And remember, doctrine is the glue that holds your walk together. So here we go. What is Calvinism? Where did it come from? All right, first, Calvinism is a theological belief system that brought predestination, that million-dollar theological word, predestination, into major focus. And I'm going to tell you what that means in a minute, predestination. Calvinism originated with John Calvin, who was born in 1509 and died in 1564 at the age of 55. But he was a brilliant guy. He was. Calvin was a brilliant guy. Really was. Brilliant theologian. Doesn't mean he was right on everything. He was a French theologian, and he was a pastor, and he was a reformer in the town of Geneva during the Protestant Reformation. And who do we think of when we hear the words Protestant Reformation? Say his name. Martin Luther. And Calvin was a principal figure in the development of the system of Christian theology that later bore his name. Now, Calvinism includes the doctrines of predestination, which is a Bible word. We read these big words and we go, well, I just don't really care. But that's a Bible word that's very important because you were predestined. You were predestined. So we ought to understand predestination, and we're going to when I'm done. Now, Calvinism includes the doctrines of predestination and the absolute sovereignty of God as it relates to salvation of the soul from death and eternal damnation. Now, let me tell you what it means. Well, first of all, the recent popularity of Calvinism. They want to know, why is Calvinism all of a sudden, every time I turn around, I'm hearing Calvinism? I believe the surge in Calvinism is due in part to the spread of Reform churches. When you hear today of a Reform church, well, it's a Reform church. They're going to a Reform church. What does that mean? It generally means they look to Calvin as the chief expositor of their beliefs. They look to Calvin. They are Calvinists in Reform churches. Listen, I thank God for Reform churches in this respect. They are taking us back to genuinely studying the Bible and studying doctrine, which is the glue that keeps your walk together. They're studying doctrine that you don't get a whole lot of in charismatic type churches, which I have been born into, and I've been in charismatic churches my whole life. But charismatic churches, and I'll be the first to tell you as a charismatic church guy, charismatic churches are generally not so great at doctrine. They're long on experience and short on doctrine. I believe you ought to be half and half. You ought to have both. Strong on doctrine, but also fully open to the moving of the Holy Spirit as long as it's biblical. Amen. Right? As long as it's biblical. Amen. Now, let me look at Calvinistic predestination. What is it? What is predestination? Calvinistic predestination includes the belief that God appointed the eternal destiny of some to salvation by grace while leaving all others to receive eternal damnation for all their sins. Wait a minute. Did you get that right? Let me read that again. Here's Calvinistic predestination. It's the belief that God appointed the eternal destiny of some to salvation by grace. God appointed it for some while leaving all others to receive damnation for their sins. This is called also unconditional election. If God elects to save me, I'm going to be saved. If he doesn't elect to save me, I'm not going to be saved. It's all up to what is called irresistible grace. Who can resist the irresistible grace of God? If he has chosen me or predestined me to be saved, who can resist his irresistible grace? I'm going to come to him no matter what. But if I have not been chosen, predestined by God to be saved, you can preach the gospel to me every day, 30 times a day for the rest of my life. I'm never going to get saved because I have not been predestined by God to be saved. That's Calvinistic predestination. Now, they want to know, what do you think about it? Here's what I think about it. I don't believe this view of predestination lines up with Scripture. However, the Bible does teach predestination, but not Calvinistic predestination.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time as we continue part 5 on this exciting series, Bible Answers to Hot Button Questions. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until next time, God bless.